If the present moment were just a given over which you had little or no control, the meditation would be very simple. It would be like watching a TV set. You're strapped into a chair. The TV's on all the time. And you realize after a while that if you get excited about what you like on the TV or get upset about what you don't like on the TV, but it's going to keep changing, changing, changing regardless. You might come to the conclusion that it's best simply to register what's there and drop it. Register what's there and drop it. Maybe you could find some aesthetic pleasure in seeing things fade. A kind of wistful, bittersweet feeling. But otherwise, equanimity would be the best response. Because no matter how you felt about things, you couldn't stop them. Fortunately for us, we're not in that situation. The present moment is not a given. Some raw material is given to us through our past actions. But how we experience the present moment is something we shape through the process of fabrication. Fabrication has an arrow in it. It has a purpose, which is for the sake of happiness. Now the problem is that often we do things thinking that they will lead to happiness, but they don't. Either because we're not aware of how we're fabricating things, or we just don't understand the process of fabrication very well. This is why it's good that we have recommendations from those who've mastered this, learned how to fabricate well, and learned how to take apart this process of fabrication so that they can get to something beyond fabrication. But first, be sensitive to the fact that you are shaping things right now. The Buddha talks about three kinds of fabrication. There's bodily fabrication, the way you breathe. Verbal fabrication, the way you talk to yourself. The Buddha calls this directed thought and evaluation. You direct your thoughts to a certain topic, and then you make comments on it, formulate questions, try to find answers, pass judgment, reconsider what you said, and then finally, mental fabrication, perceptions and feelings, perceptions and the labels you put on things that tell you what they are and what they mean, and then feeling tones. Of pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. These are things that we do all the time. It's through these things that we shape our experience. And not only right now, but also on into the future. The Buddha also talks about three fabrications on another level, bodily fabrication. On this larger level, it's just any intentional bodily act you do, which will have an impact on your future lifetimes. Verbal fabrication would be any verbal act you do, which again will have an impact on your future lifetimes. Mental fabrication, any mental act that you intentionally do. And again, it has an impact on into later in this lifetime and on into future lifetimes. Some people say that these two different levels of fabrication are totally unrelated. But that's missing an important insight. One of the reasons why we focus on the present moment, not because it's the only thing there is, but it's where things start. Because after all, any bodily action you do is going to start with the breath. Any verbal action will start with directed thought and evaluation. Any mental action will start with perceptions and feelings. So you're at the starting gate right here, which is why it's so important to focus on the present moment. We do have a goal in the future. There's a possibility of putting an end to suffering. If there was a goal-oriented person, it was the Buddha. And he found his goal not by giving up on goals, but by getting very skilled in this process of fabrication and understanding them. Where did he understand them? He understood them in the present moment, at the moment where they start. And he taught a technique. Again, if the present moment were totally a given, you wouldn't need much of a technique. Just say, well, that's how it is, that's how it is, or is that so, is that so? Something very simple to maintain your equanimous distance. But it is a technique. And when you apply that to a process where you're actually fabricating things through the way you breathe, through the way you talk to yourself, and through the perceptions and feelings you hold on to, becomes a lot of verbal fabrication. But it's pretty much one note. And all the other forms of fabrication go underground. And the problem is they're already done in ignorance, which is why we suffer. And denying that you're doing them just adds more ignorance on top. So you need a technique that allows you to be more sensitive to these things, which is probably why the Buddha chose the breath as an ideal meditation topic. Focus directly on bodily fabrication, how you breathe. And then you engage in direct thought and evaluation about how you breathe. Take the image of the bathman. He mixes the water with the bath powder, so the mixture is just right. It's as if he's making bread. He kneads the water into the powder. The same way you knead the breath energy through the body. Once the in and out breath is comfortable, you allow it to spread. How do you know it's comfortable? Well, you've tried out various ways of breathing. Again, through directed thought and evaluation, you pose certain questions. How about this way of breathing? How about that way of breathing? And then you try to answer it, not by just coming up with a theory, by testing the theory. Would long breathing feel better? Short breathing? Or in long, out short? In short, out long? Heavy, light, fast, slow? Come up with a hypothesis and then test it. And then what perceptions of the breath are most useful? As the Buddha said, you try to breathe in a way that gives rise to pleasure and rapture. To do that, you have to have certain perceptions in mind about how you're breathing. And you have to talk to yourself about how you're breathing. All of his breath meditation instructions are forms of verbal fabrication. But you don't just do things mechanically. You try to be sensitive. This is why it's such a good technique, because it gives you room for play, room for experimentation. He says to breathe in a way that gladdens the mind. Breathe in a way that steadies or concentrates the mind. Breathe in a way that releases the mind. Breathe in a way that makes you sensitive to mental fabrication, what your perceptions and feelings are. In other words, get the mind really quiet with the breath, then you begin to see that you have certain pictures to hold in mind about how the breath is going. If you're not sure about what the pictures are, you can make up some pictures and see how the body responds. You can focus on certain feelings. There are the potentials for pain some places in the body. There are potentials for pleasures some places in the body. Search those out, especially the ones that are potentials for pleasure. See how you can maximize them. As the Buddha said, you give rise to feelings not of the flesh. In other words, these feelings that you consciously give rise to. Then when you have something pleasant and something rapturous or refreshing, let it spread throughout the body so the whole body is saturated. So this is a technique that doesn't just tell you what to do. It focuses you on areas where you can explore. So you become more and more sensitive to how you're doing these forms of fabrication. You're learning how to do them more skillfully. It's in this way that these fabrications become part of the path, not just the cause for suffering. Then he recommends that you get really good at this until the time comes when, after you use your concentration to give rise to the feelings and physical states that you enjoy, you decide you want something better, something that's not fabricated. Then you do that with the breath as well. You breathe in and out, focused on inconstancy. You breathe in and out, focused on dispassion, cessation, relinquishment, where you relinquish everything. So the Buddha gives you advice on how to become more sensitive to how this present moment is fabricated, and then advice on how to get beyond the fabrication. But you have to understand first that it is fabricated, this present moment. You've been doing it all the time. The purpose of the technique is not just to put your mind through a meat grinder. It's to get you more sensitive to these facts so you can make the most of them. Instead of being strapped in a chair, subjected to a TV set that you can't control, the Buddha sets you free. Shows you how you've been keeping yourself tied down. And also shows you how you can find your own freedom. There's a technique involved. And it requires an understanding that yes, you are fabricating things, and yes, you do have goals. The Buddha simply wants you to develop better goals, have a more mature attitude toward your goals, and then he gives you the tools for attaining them. That's the best kind of teaching there is, especially when the goal is total freedom.